Hey guys, so this is Stephanie, and I just wanted to let you know that while editing this chewing gum recap, I realized how long it was, and although maybe you guys would have slept through 2 hours, I didn't want to make you do that. So I actually broke this episode up into two parts. So this is part one of the chewing gum recap, where I am joined by the lovely Shannon from Nerds of Prey. I really do hope you guys enjoy the first half, and we'll have the second half up soon. Hey, this is Stephanie, and I am joined by Shannon from Nerds of Prey, and guess what we're here to talk to you about today? Chewing Gum, Season 2. Shannon, how are you doing?
I am just fantastic and ready to go.
Good, good, good. So actually, guys, we're going to jump into this because we're both old women. I'm an old woman. So speaking
no,
for myself.
No, we are sisters. We are sisters in this.
And Sandman might come for me. I don't know yet. So while this coffee is still pumping through my veins and I can actually see my little health meter dwindling, let's jump right into it. So, Santa, just overall, how do you feel about chewing gum? Season 2, that is.
Like, I did not think it could get better after season 1, but season 2 was just such an amazing, like, breath of fresh air, and Michaela Cole somehow improved upon an already winning formula. Like, season 2 just knocked it out of the ballpark for me. Like, aside from it being, like, hilarious to the point where I hurt, like, because that's a thing now where, like, you can't laugh too much because, like, once you're older, your body can't handle, like, too much of a good time. But like, this one was like, I reached, like, critical laughter in season 2. But she found also ways to inject really beautiful moments that, like, honestly choked me up. And I really cannot say enough about this season. Like, it was damn near perfect for me.
Twinsies, because I definitely feel the same way. And the funny story, I was actually running late to the live tweet that I was supposed to do with the NYC film chick. Mm. And I was on my way back from a children's party. So it's me, my aunt, and my son. And I had brought my iPad with me because I was like, I can watch this and live tweet at the same time on a car ride home. But I forgot, it's chewing gum.
Yeah.
I had the volume down, so I was like reading and everything, and I think it was the episode where they actually went to the sex part, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to pause this. But like,
which I feel like at this point we just need to have an agreement, like a fandom wide agreement, that anytime Boy Tracy shows up, we just need we need to watch it on our own at night when yes. No one impressionable in the room, because he's always on some what's the language barrier here, like PG, G?
Oh,
can I
right now? Oh, you can definitely go rated R.
Every time Boy Tracy shows up, he's on some fuck shit. Like, it's, and I know it's only been twice, but right now he's 2 for 2. And we just need to understand that if he's showing up, it's just not safe because he is on some other shit. So as soon as he showed up, I immediately turned my TV off because my child wandered in the room was like, I already know.
Wait, so and that's funny that you say that, because when you showed up in that particular episode, like, I kind of like curved my body on an angle in the car and I like put the laptop with the iPad up on an angle, and I was like looking at it straight on. I was just like, hopefully she continues to drive and I can do this. Like, he was behind me so he couldn't see, but I was just like, yeah, I'm out the way. But I guess I didn't know that she could take it up to that level, because, season 1 was fantastic and it was right up my alley as far as humor goes. But season 2 took it to another level, and then like an entirely new outlandish level. And that episode where they went to the sex party, like, that just took it over the top for me. So, I mean, how brilliant is Michaela Cole? How brilliant is she?
The limit does not exist. Like, it's so, like, watching her brain work via this series is really a sight to behold, because she has managed to create this, like, unicorn of a character that, like, no one can touch. Like, seriously, chewing gum is some of, like, the most beautiful television out there right now for so many reasons. And she is just brilliant. Like, the moment that I was like, oh my god, me is Tracy and Tracy is me, was when she finds out about the sex party. But she's like, wait, so how did we get on this list? He's like, oh, I just uploaded the pictures and that's how we got on. She's like, wait, so I got on this party based on my looks? Oh, okay.
Right. And then she was like, all for it. And I was like, yeah, that would have been me too. I would have been pissed. But then after that realization, I would have been like, you know what? Okay. You know?
Well, we don't want to waste an invitation.
No, we don't.
It's bad manners.
These people know good things. So let's go ahead and get up in here. All right. So we'll go episode by episode and just say, you know, what our favorite parts and actually some of the social commentary, because she managed to infuse a good amount of that into this show, which
she really did.
I mean, okay, before I start standing, let's go ahead. So the first episode from season 2 is WTF Happened. And basically in this one, we get the rundown of what happened between season 1 and where we are in season 2. So her mm-hmm. and Connor had broke up. They were homeless. And Connor is at her job, which I'm surprised she even still has.
How?
I don't even know.
How?
And I,
I don't under... I am baffled by this as well.
I'm like, she has to be related to the owner in some way. And he's there selling shelves. Is trying to, I guess, get some closure behind the relationship. And then Tracy is being Tracy and makes up having a boyfriend, saying that she moved on. And it's just, I mean, it picks up right where it left off.
Yeah. And not just any boyfriend, but like a famous performer, Stormzy. Like, so she's like, oh yeah, that one. She's like, oh, he's like, wait, you're dating Stormzy? Oh, that's unfortunate. Like,
he picks me up in his Rolex.
That took me a second watch to catch that she said Rolex. And I was like, damn you, Michaela Cole. That is hilarious.
And she said it with so much conviction. And another part that took me out was, I guess, when her and Connor were talking, or Connor was talking to her and she was counting, and she had like her little notepad out, and then they do like a little shot of it and it says Solange Beyonce. And I was just like, you know what? I really can't right now, but you know, I probably would have been writing the same thing.
It's those little touches. Like, that's probably my favorite part, is her standing over not just Beyonce, but Beyonce and Solange, as we all have. We understand that it is a package deal now. You no, cannot I mean, stand one.
Right. And then too, you wouldn't want to separate two anyway. I mean,
right.
Why half up your greatness? So she's playing with dolls at one point, and first off, she's stalking his Instagram, which I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. And she's playing with dolls at the front, at the register or whatever, and that took me out because she had hers fly away, and also the way she had the Emma doll looking, I was just like, you know what? My kind of petty.
That when she's like, oh, I'm flying. I was like, it reminds you for a second. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is absolutely Tracy. Because there are times when you forget. Because Tracy is such like a layered character.
Yeah. And,
like, she's just beautifully layered. But there is that just silly, ridiculous side that's like, there are in some areas where she still has some growing up to do, but not in a sense of like, oh, she's a child. Like, she just, that petty took over in that moment. And she's like, these dolls are going to act out my life, and I am going to ascend this bullshit here. Literally. I'm going to
like, for real. So then I'm just like, so wait, you know, what happened? One, we find out that she's living at her job. Again, how is she still employed? And then two, that they really were living in a homeless shelter. And on top of that, I guess she got drunk one night. And this is, I guess, the night they break up. Mm-hmm. And she tries to jazz up the bathroom at the homeless shelter. And I'm just like, Tracy, oh, geez, how, girl? How?
Tracy's threshold for disgusting spaces just eludes me.
Like, it doesn't exist.
It's just like, girl.
And then what? She had that, wait, who did she? She got a dildo. And it took the second time around for me to catch who she got it from. And then like their whole little interaction afterwards, because it was another, I guess another person staying at the homeless shelter who happened to be a lesbian. And then Tracy's just like, well, you could just give it to me. And then she's like, nah, no, thank you. You can keep it.
That was something. And I love that it did give us an insight as to where they were for 3 months. Because when we left off, they're just kind of walking off into the sunset in their underwear. Like, where are they going?
You are right about it. See, I had totally forgot about that. You know, you're right. They definitely did just walk off into the doggone sunset.
So it's like, oh, they were in a shelter. Like, no, this was still like a sustained problem. Like, she didn't just get to pop back home, like, or stay with Candace. Like, they were in a shelter for that time. And I love her getting drunk to make a love nest, which peak Tracy.
Peak Tracy. And the location also peak Tracy. And I just...
Oh my goodness gracious.
God bless her.
Yeah. My favorite part of this episode, they had like a little moment where they finally broke down and... kind of like talked about the elephant in the room, and there was a moment where she had to like come clean. He's like, why do you lie so much? She's like, I don't know. Like they've had that closure, and it was just like a cute moment that they had between the two of them. They're sitting there and she's got her head on his shoulder, and like he mouths like, I love you, and she mouths same, like right before they opened the gate. And I was just like, oh, that, okay, all right, just get me in the gut. Because you forget that, even though Connor is like, I love that they call him a waste man. Even though he's a waste man, they still did have a very real connection, even though that connection is still kind of hazy. Like, do they love each other? Do they still love each other? Are they friends? But you know it's deep. And I just thought that was kind of like a very nice elevation from season one, because it was a very intimate moment. And they played the only legitimate Ja Rule song that I recognize.
Yes, because it took me on a flashback and I was like, you know what? That is one song that, I mean, I still wouldn't pay to see him perform it, but...
Never. Never, not once.
I would, like, if it was happening in the park and it was free, I would stop. And I would listen to that. And then I would leave.
If we have got to give people their roses while they are still here, that is one rose I will give them.
Not the one rose.
It's the one. It is the one. But Put It On Me is a hood love classic.
It definitely is. And I don't know how I almost forgot to mention one of my favorite characters from this show, Ola.
Ola, that is, I was so happy to see that they were going to utilize him
so much this season too.
So much. They realized a gem and they were like, you know what, no, you come in the foreground and shine.
I just had an idea. Ola and why is his name escaping me from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh, Titus.
Titus, my favorite. I don't know why I couldn't think of Titus's name, but Ola and Titus, their own show on Netflix. I don't know. I don't care what they're doing. Just make it happen.
You know what? That's a Kickstarter that'll get all my money.
Right? Because Titus should have his own show. And I only sit through and grin and bear a lot of the stuff that I have to that irritates me about the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for him.
And you're better than me because after I didn't even make it through season one. I was like, I can't do this. But every time there's a new season premieres, I do get excited because you know that he's going to put out like a little teaser trailer and it's going to be amazing. So like last season, it was his audition tape for Hamilton. And this year it was him lemonading. And I have played that commercial at least 80 times. But him and Ola together, I feel like there's no way my body could handle that.
No, mine either. Like, I would go into a coma. I would go into a Finn-like coma.
Not a Finn-like coma.
Have that man in that commercial, I mean, in that trailer, like that sleep. You know what? I'm going to get off time.
Bad. Bad stuff.
But so I just had to mention that Ola was definitely there in the first episode, and I was happy because he was like, you know, I don't do favors, I do transactions. And I was like, you know what? I'm here for that.
That needs to be the new anthem for all independent creators.
Can't, you know what? Get it on a shirt. Just I want that on a shirt, and I want it on a shirt now. All right. So.
All these ventures. I want that shirt too. So I absolutely do. That killed me when he tried to be. Oh, my pretty little vagina. I rolled under my couch. No one could find me for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. So episode two of season two is called The Replacements. And this one, you know, Tracy is busy replacing Connor. Like, she actually hands out flyers. Candace is with new dates and friends, but her mom sets her straight. Yeah, sets her straight and challenging tests before she can move back into the family home. Oh, Tracy, right? Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this episode was cool. You said you've watched The Replacements several times.
Replacements is tying for my favorite film or for my favorite episode.
Okay, so please sell me on it. And I feel like it's not that I didn't like the episode. I just feel like this was one that I probably didn't pay attention to for whatever reason.
So this was the episode where she's trying to get back into her mom's house, and her mom gives her the impossible task of giving out thousands of flyers for this damn church. And she says that you need to pass out the flyers. You need to heal the sick. And I think she needs to like speak in tongues or something like that. So
she does. And I was on the ground.
It's ridiculous. So Tracy's like done and done. So she's giving out flyers for this church with Ola. And this is where she meets the potential replacement for Connor. And oh God, what was his name? His name was Ash.
All right, the guy with the weird fetish. Okay, well, he's not a weird fetish, but
a very common fetish.
Yes. Amongst. Okay,
but yeah, so she meets Ash. That meeting to me is so hilarious because, like, I think a lesser show would have had Tracy like fawning over this, you know,
I agree.
Cute white guy, but the way she approached it was like, oh, you're handsome. He's like, oh, thank you. She's like, well, you don't thank me. It's not good or bad. It's just a statement of fact. And he's like, Tracy totally took the lead in that exchange, and no other show would have allowed a dark-skinned black girl to take the lead in a sort of tete-for-tete with a mildly attractive white guy. It would not happen. So already, off top, I was like, queen, mildly. I mean, his facial hair is okay. Like,
it just cracked me up. I'm sorry.
It's just like, whatever. I get what we're going for, but whatever. So, yeah. So there is that moment, and then it becomes clear once they're on their date that he is very much into black women in a very unhealthy way. And when he takes her back to the house, she's saying, "Oh, I love like your black tits," or something. Very uncomfortable dialogue when they're on the bed, and Tracy puts a stop to it and is like, "You said some stuff, and I'm just gonna catch the bus." And he tries to say that he's only ever been with this is his first black he said this is black female experience, and already I was like, just punch him in the face and be done with it. But all of that's going on. She has that awful date. The reason why this was one of my favorite episodes, so there's a couple reasons, but one, there's the part with Ola where she's like, okay, I have to heal the sick in front of my mom. So she hires Ola to pretend to be like the sickly, like,
idea,
drug riddled man, and he comes limping up, like asking for healing. And Tracy's like, "Oh, I'll handle this, mother," and says like this really like lackluster prayer. And what kills me is that Ola can't stop being Ola even for like 2 minutes. He kind of reminds me of like Designer. Like, if you ask Designer to sit still, I bet you he can't. So like, Ola, asking Ola to be anything other than Ola is a risk and probably not worthwhile, because the minute that he does the prayer, he stops his limping. He's like, "Oh, I ain't got a limp no more. I don't want drugs no more." And he's like, "I feel so good. I just feel like I want to dance." And then off comes the tearaway hoodie. And
I was crying.
A gold glittery midriff top.
And he, you know what? Ola be hitting his A counts.
Those kicks will be high, and that eagle will be spread, madam, and you will take all of it. I died. And what makes that so funny is like Tracy's face when she's like, she's just accepting her L. Like, her face when she's taking an L, Michaela Cole's facial expressions are top notch. And her face of just the acceptance of like, I lost this one. And the minute that she realizes this isn't going to work, I'm not getting back in this house, she pulls out her phone and texts Ash. It's like, "You're right. My titties are black. Can I stay at your house?" I died because it reminds me, I think it did a good job of reminding the audience, like, Tracy is you can call Tracy a lot of things, but one thing that she definitely is, aside from like immature and childlike in spots, she's a damn survivor.
Agree. No, definitely.
It's so easy to forget how much of a survivor she is when she makes so many dumb mistakes. But damn it, she's like, "Oh, this white boy really loves me in an unhealthy way, but he also has a roof, which I do not have. So I'm just going to grin and bear it and deal with it." And I was like, oh my God, how... I understood. She just did what she had to do.
And grin and bear it she did.
And grin and bear it she did in a kente print bikini. And that whole getup with the face paint and the bangles.
And I felt bad for laughing as hard as I did at that, because I was like, should I be laughing this hard? I think it was more so because I just felt like that was somewhere in America, probably. There is somebody that really enjoys that kind of thing and actually pays women or has a woman that does that. And I was just like, this. And then at the same time, they go off and they tweet Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
I think that's the part that just really was like, you know what? I feel like this is probably very real, and I'm cracking up because I'm pretty sure if I see, you know, someone on the timeline who is very pro-black and is white, probably does this.
Absolutely. And it's me personally, I was like, how much you want to bet that this is going on in every, like, sports team owner's house right now?
Yeah, right. Bob Kraft.
Donald Sterling has a black girlfriend. How do you think? There's no way. There's no way that this has not happened in Donald Sterling's home. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. Don't sue me. But I'm just saying it. That whole thing, I was like, this strikes as weirdly familiar.
And no, exactly. And I was just like, this should not feel this familiar. It just should not. But it does. And I was like, I mean, I can see it. Somebody with a blue check mark got this going on right now.
Adam.
Oh.
And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Like, but imagine like being on the other side of that too. Like, if you don't have much options,
and that's what I'm saying.
There just aren't much options for you. It's like, goddamn. Like, my skills aren't there quite yet to get a job on my own.
So I'm this just, is where I am.
This is where I am. I just got to use what I got to get this house and this money. And I'm wondering how far it would have gone had Ash's baby's mother and his children not shown up.
Them little kids took me out, especially that little boy. Because they were just like, you embarrass me. I'm gonna need therapy for this. And the baby mama tried to comfort Tracy at first. And then, you know, Tracy was like, well, I guess it's when she ended up calling Candace. And she comes back and she finds her footing and she's just like, no, like, you suck and I'm about to ruin this white couch.
That was, she got the, oh God, I forgot what it was, like the Vegemite and like chocolate sauce. And was like, I will fuck up this white house in front of your children. That killed me too. Like, the little boy showing up, be like, I'm trying to find reasons to respect you, Dad, and I can't. But what also killed me was like the total lack of surprise.
Right, and, like, they've seen this before.
Like, they've walked into this monthly, and like the little girl just knowing, like, taking the, she took like the, was it the bearskin throw? I was like, I'm gonna cover up this poor woman. But that whole speech with Tracy and the, because you're right, yeah, she did absolutely try to come for her. I think that's probably one of my favorite quotes from the season, is like, I am a grown woman. I just make childlike mistakes. And I was like, that's a perfect description of Tracy.
Yeah.
She's grown. But this mistake she makes, she's so like high school because she's just been so sheltered. But
No, but exactly right. And then she was like, well, you know, I might make these mistakes, but at least I didn't have children by him. And then she just kind of leaves out. And I was like, well.
Every time Tracy. Drop. And she was not wrong. Every time Tracy calls someone a fool, I'm like, this is the best moment of my life. Because right? The way she hits the F in fool is so good. She's like, at least I didn't have two kids by this fool. It's like, you know what? You were absolutely right. And that woman did have to kind of like eat her crow.
She sure it is. So I was like, you know what, like, you know, for all of the silly stuff that Tracy does, like, when it comes down to it, and actually throughout this entire season, she has moments where it's just like, but I do have a lot more sense than you think I do. So I appreciate that.
Exactly. She has like these lucid moments where, and it's all, it always comes out when it's like, when she's had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like that rant in season one, when we first meet boy Tracy. And she just sort of reads everyone in the room for filth. And, like, you just kind of forget in, like, all of the silliness that, like, oh, this is a grown woman. So it's, I live for the moments where she, like, shows that off. Where she gets to be like, no, listen, I make mistakes. I do some dumb shit.
Right. And don't act like y'all shit don't stink, because let me read you for a moment.
Right. And that's a lot to say, because she does live on the estate, and there is, she addresses a lot of like classism in chewing gum as well. And I think that's another thing that people do to kind of take her for granted, is because she is, you know, at a lower economic level, they just make these assumptions about her. And it's like, no, none of her mistakes she makes has anything to do with her living in any form of poverty. It just has everything to do with her not really living that much of a life, because her mother is insanely religious. So yeah, I loved that. And I did love like the little sisterly moment when she left and she hands the woman the stuff, like, and you can fuck up his couch too, sis. I'm out.
And I almost forgot to mention, for the second episode, Tracy's sister makes her first appearance.
Yes, Cynthia makes her first.
Yeah, Cynthia makes her first appearance, and we see her having a flashback, because I think at the beginning of this episode or sometime before the episode is over, Tracy and Candace fall out, and then Cynthia has like a flashback to when this happened when they were younger, and it was kind of like, okay, well, colorism sliding on through in this episode, because I think when Candace talked to her mom, she was like, I remember you giving Tracy something, and she was like, yeah, because I felt like ugly kids should have something too. I was like, oh, ouch.
Yeah. Candace has those moments.
She does.
Like, and you slip in, and it's like, y'all are such good friends, but you're having an ain't shit moment right now, so I don't know how to feel. But yeah, but like, Candace really revels in being like the light-skinned beauty with long hair, with long pretty hair. And she brings it up. Like,
yeah, she does.
More than a couple times, like, okay. But then there are these moments where she's also a really good friend to Tracy, so you just kind of left like, I don't know. I love you, but also, like, girl.
You're, like, really terrible.
Yeah.
So we get, like, so I guess this is letting us know that things weren't the best between Candace and Tracy during the hiatus between season one and season two, and I guess they're maybe trying to get it back on track, but that's pretty much what's going on. And then her sister, I guess, is still feeling left out.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, this episode was interesting, because that was probably the one thing that I probably needed clarification on, was why there was a falling out between Candace and Tracy. Because I didn't quite pick up on that. Like, I know that she kicked Tracy out of the house, so maybe they never quite got back on track after she had kicked Tracy out initially, and then Tracy dipped for 3 months. So maybe they just never had that opportunity to kind of get back on. But like, Tracy showed up, so I would think that, you know, there would be some effort there, but instead she kind of tried to use Cynthia as a replacement instead of like making it work with Tracy. And that's when Nan, God bless Nan, steps in and was like, you know, figure out where you want to go with this. If you want to hit her, hit her. But if you want to make up with her. So yeah, that was kind of my only like kind of moment in the season was like, why y'all fighting? But I guess like when you're really good friends, like you have those nothing fights when you're younger. So maybe it was just one of those things, like, you know, Tracy knew how to get under her skin in a unique way, and it worked. Maybe I don't know. I have to watch it again and figure that out.
I want to say that I do think it's because Candace kicked her out, because I remember, I think Candace apologizing for that and saying that she should have been there. So I felt like that might have been it, because they seemed to resolve it. So I think you're right. I think it probably is that. So, but like you, I need to go back and watch. I mean, I don't mind, because I really, really like season two. So
yes.
episode three, Boy Tracy. So this one is called Just Need Some Company. And basically, y'all, to just sum this episode up, they go to a sex party, I should say, because Boy Tracy is not. So this episode, okay, let's get into this one, because I think there's a little bit to unpack in this one, because Tracy is questioning her looks. Mm-hmm. And I think she's told that she is beautiful in a niche kind of way. And I was like, well, damn. And like a Whoopi Goldberg
kind of way.
Yikes.
I love that group and simultaneously want to punch each and every one of them in the throat. Because they do. Agreed. They pull this shit with Tracy every single time. Because they did call her niche in season one, too. Where they're like, no, you're beautiful in, you know, a very interesting way. And it's like, y'all really ain't shit for this. Meanwhile, all of their makeup looks a wreck. A wreck. Every single time. But yeah, when they said in a Whoopi Goldberg way, I was like, wow. Wow.
And not necessarily, I mean, not that it's, you know, beautiful. I mean, I'm about to sound like them and saying that Whoopi is beautiful in her own way, but you know.
But you know what they meant by it.
I know what they meant. That's the whole thing, is like what they meant by that and what anybody means by that if they were to say that you favor Whoopi Goldberg or you look like her in some way. Because that, I mean, I'm sorry, but they don't mean that in a very positive way. So when they said that, I was like, Ooh, child, sorry. So yeah. So Tracy's is like, wait, so what's wrong with me? So she's relying on Boy Tracy, whom wanted to sleep with her in the first season, to find her attractive. But I guess he's quote unquote moved on, or so we're led to believe. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of ignoring her. And we get introduced to his dad and his mom. I mean, her mom and his dad, when they get together, what did she say? They're like,
oh my god,
it was something that was so funny, and I should have wrote it down.
Yeah, I should have wrote it down. But essentially, it was her saying that they are too much when they're together, and you immediately understood what she meant by that because it was very, very irritating the whole time. They're like very much peas in a pod.
I mean, they really are. So I think there's something else going on with her mom still trying to get this church thing off the ground. And a woman from the council comes and like, I think they're trying to tell her like, yeah, you're not married. You don't have any kids. And she's just kind of like, you know, that's irrelevant. I'll be at the service. And I thought that was kind of funny because, you know, her mother just couldn't believe like, what's wrong with you? Because Tracy's mom is funny as hell, to me at least.
She's so outstanding. Yes.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
So that happens. And then we kind of fast forward to Candace. What is her boyfriend's name?
Aaron.
So Candace, Aaron, Boy Tracy, and Girl Tracy. They are outside waiting to get into this party. And Tracy puts two and two together and figures out like, oh, this is a sex party. And then when Boy Tracy's like, well, we got in based on our pictures, she's like, oh, well, okay then. So they get in there, and I didn't know that they were going to go there with this episode, but they definitely go there.
My goodness. Like, no.
I was like, is this Cinemax? What's going on? Bar.
I was like, I didn't think it could get much grimier than the dick pic. From the under the table dick pic that I truly wasn't ready for, but I love that Michaela Cole was like, more? Yes, more. Just all over a place. I wonder if this is what the Atlanta orgy was supposed to look like.
Oh my. I guess so. And then like people are just casually engaged in sexual activity throughout this whole entire second half of the episode. Because there's one point where I think Tracy is like putting two to two together, or I don't know what she's doing, but there's like a guy in the back in a swings, I mean, in like some slings.
These swings. And
just like, yes. And I'm just like, wait, what's going on? I was like, oh, but wait. Why is this just casually going on in the background? I'm like, oh, but it's a sex party. So my hat off to them because, you know, you're paying attention to what's going on, but other stuff is going on in the background. I'm just like, y'all really, really took it there. And it just works so perfectly with just everything about the show. It just goes so perfectly. And then boy Tracy is engaged in sexual activity, and I guess he had never came before and he was getting ready to, so he jumps into the pool because Tracy has convinced everybody to just have a pool party instead.
There's just like little gems in this episode. My goodness, of course now would be the time. There's like definite gems with Tracy. One, them being in matching, they were in like matching watermelon swimsuits. Like she was in like a watermelon print swimsuit and he's like in these watermelon swim trunks. So ridiculous. And her and Tracy giving this big speech of like, we don't have to do this, we can just have a good time without all the sex, and then playing like volleyball in the pool. So hilarious to me. But yeah, him jumping in the pool as he arrives was a disgusting stroke of genius.
I was so disgusted, but at the same time cracking up.
Yes, I died. I absolutely died.
So, I mean, just if you don't watch any other episodes, watch that one. Watch episode 3 from season 2. I mean, it's pretty much all you need to know about chewing gum.
Alone. Which, like, I love that Tracy just feels the need to de-escalate a sex party. Like, that's my favorite thing in the world. Just realize this, that there's too much going on. You know what? We don't need to do this. You know, there's more to us. And then this, from it going to like from sex swings to we're going to play volleyball in the pool is just magical to me. But it somehow also leads to boy Tracy like loudly professing his love for his cousin and him needing to do that in order to have sex with this woman. And the woman not missing like a beat either was very strange.
Not
to me.
One. She came ready. She was like, I'm getting this no matter what.
It was boggling to me. She's like, all right, it's just a thing I got to deal with. And him getting up and rushing to the pool.
Like, oh, so grossed out, but I couldn't help but laugh because I'm just like, no.
That also, like, that was a moment that I was simultaneously disgusted, and I also held Michaela Cole to my bosom as a sister in filthy humor, because like we don't get enough of that from women creators here in the States.
No, we don't, and especially Black women creators.
Unheard of, I feel like. Like,
never ever.
You Nick Korn. So that moment, it was just so, it was like elevated potty humor, because who would have put two and two together like that? Like, oh, there's a pool. He's going to nut in the pool. Like,
they were going to show it.
I've never been more like disgusted, but dying. I was laughing so hard because it was just such a uniquely gross moment that has been reserved for white boys forever.
Exactly. So, see, and this is why this show and this season 2 has just really been elevated, because I'm just like, what is it? Van Wilder and all of those kinds of movies. I'm just like, oh, finally. You could see that kind of humor, and it's still funny as hell, if not funnier.
It was hilarious. It was just really well done. And that was just a really great episode. And I do love that she did, of all people, borrow from Tina Shea, Is that how you pronounce it?
I think, girl, I don't even know. I think so. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, this is the one. Company is like the one Tina Shea song that I like. So when I saw that title, I was like, all right, I'll allow it. I will allow it. But that is such like a deliciously black, like, it just felt like a black nod. Because who else in this life would reference Tina Shea?
It's so shady and so good.
It's so funny to me. So, yeah, that was
that was a good episode.
It was, but again, it just anytime, like at this point after two episodes, we just have to have the understanding that Boy Tracy equals this episode is going to be ridiculous, and you probably shouldn't watch it around children.
Or anybody, for that
or
matter.
Or anybody that you don't want to judge you.
Right. So that's why in the car, I was scrambling to, like, cut it off. And I was like, oh, oop.
All right. So that was the first half of the Chewing Gum recap. I hope you guys had just as much fun listening as we had talking about it. The second half of the Chewing Gum recap will be up next week. So in the meantime, go back and watch more Chewing Gum. We'll be back with episodes 4 through 6.